Please rise.
To Him who loved us
and washed us from our sins in His own blood and has made us kings and priests to His God and Father, to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
The Word of God I would lay on your hearts for our consideration today comes from the 5th chapter of the book of Ephesians, verses 8 to 14 as follows.
For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. So far the Holy Word.
Dear friends in Christ, fellow redeemed, the Bible uses many metaphors, many allegories, illustrations to help us understand the message from the Word. The picture language, if you'd like to call it that, that Isaiah talked about in the Old Testament reading from Isaiah 42, you know, the dry stream beds, the place where there is darkness, all those things, the parched ground, that speaks about the spiritual condition of man without God in their life. And probably one of the greatest metaphors, or the most easily recognized, is the metaphor of darkness versus light. That's exactly what our text uses today to explain to us our spiritual condition before and after. Before we were believers to after we were believers. Today the theme is the darkness and the light. And the fact is, once we were in the dark, but now we're in the light. Let's tell others of that light. Once we were in the dark. In fact, that's how the text starts out. For you were once darkness. Darkness, the metaphor. Let's see. Darkness is a metaphor that is commonly used for things that are hidden, that can't be seen. Sometimes it's a metaphor for ignorance. Somebody's in the dark. We refer to the Dark Ages. The time in the early 1600s, some people think that's a time when, you know, arts and literature were really put down and people weren't, education was put down. That's the Dark Ages to them, really. The Dark Ages is more of a spiritual time in the 15th, 16th, 17th century there. That was the real Dark Ages. But in our text for today, there's a very definite line that the Apostle Paul wants to communicate, the difference between sin and the corruption of total sin in your life versus the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in you and the gift of faith that God has given you. Everything that God has done, which we sum up in one word, salvation. Everything that God has done in Christ to procure, nail down, and absolutely cement in your salvation. That's the light. That's the darkness versus the light. Once you were darkness, you were in a state of unbelief. You know, Paul was talking to the Christians there in Ephesus, all of whom were converts, adult converts, except for the kids, of course. But all of them could remember a time when they were unbelievers, and they did not believe in Christ crucified for sinners. They could all remember that time. Whatever they were doing, it came through to them as a period, a spiritual state or condition that the Apostle Paul calls darkness. How about us? When were you in a state of darkness? Well, the fact is, we were all conceived and born in sin. We all inherited sin from Adam and Eve. And even if you were baptized on the same day that you were born and given the gift of faith to believe in God and Christ and the forgiveness of sins, which little babies do, probably you included, still before that moment, you were still in darkness. The darkness of sin held you. You see, that was the big triumph of the devil. The devil who wanted to be like God and whose pride ruined his life because then God threw him out of heaven along with all the other evil angels. And the devil thought, well, all right, I'll just destroy God's crown of God's creation. I'll enslave mankind. And didn't he do a good job of it? He caused Adam and Eve to sin. And that sin was passed down to us. And it is sin that holds us captive, that keeps us in darkness. We hear of that metaphor all through Scripture. Last Christmas, you heard a verse from Isaiah, probably. It goes something like, "Those who have walked in darkness have seen a great light." And many other similar passages, just like that one. Once you were darkness. And those people could remember it. But you and I can relate to it because we know what the Bible teaches about original sin. Once we were in darkness. The slaves to sin that our sin had earned for us, held us captive, would not let us approach God in any way, shape, or form. But God did not let that triumph of Satan go without a check. In fact, God came up with the victory plan, the salvation, the seed of the woman who would destroy the head of the serpent, as he promised in Genesis 3:15. The continuing promise of the seed who would be a blessing to every family that he gave to all those Old Testament believers. All in you and in your seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Your nation, mine, we are blessed because of the fulfillment of God's promise in sending his Son. Once you were in darkness and spiritual ignorance and unbelief, and you had no way out. But Paul tells you with this one word, now. The word means to put a huge contrast into the way you once were to what you are now. What you once were was a captive to sin, a slave to the devil. You had no way but to serve only sin, death, and Satan. But now, in contrast, the Scripture says, you are light in the Lord. Here comes this contrast of darkness versus light. And we're well familiar with how light works in our daily routine. It's a good illustration, right? You turn on, even when you come to a place you know. I spent years and years hunting the same woods in Wisconsin. And yet when the sun went down and there was no moon, if you were in there when it was dark, I don't care how well you knew it, I always got lost. I always got turned around, even though I almost knew every single tree in this forest. The darkness will do that to you. You know it when you come to your home. You're familiar with your home. You are so familiar that if you had to, you probably wouldn't need to turn the light switch on when you come on at home. But those toes of yours tell you something different, don't they? No, turn the light switch on. We've done this before. You need that light. Even in a familiar place, the darkness can trick you, and you can misjudge and end up hurting yourself. So the light comes on. The light switch is to darkness as the gospel is to the illumination of our souls. It just turns the light on. Now, the illustration and the allegory, the metaphor of darkness versus light actually becomes real when the Scripture refers to Jesus, and Jesus himself says, "I am the light of the world." Jesus, Jehovah God, the all-powerful Savior Lord, our Lord, says he is the light of the world. That's not an allegory. That's the truth. The truth is that Jesus lights up the way. His word for you and for me doesn't muddy the waters. We can't look at the Bible and say, oh, everybody has his own interpretation. There's so many different denominations. There's so many different things that people take this verse as. Who can know it? That would mean that the Bible's unclear. and that Jesus doesn't light the way. But we know that can't be right. Let the Bible be true. Let every man be a liar. Let my excuses go out the window. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path, the psalmist says. That's what God's word is for us, and it's the truth. So we keep going back to that word, knowing that now we are in the light. Now we are light in the Lord. And in fact, the Lord says that His light, which now shines in our hearts by faith, is what illuminates through us. His light shines through us to the rest of the world. The gospel message of the forgiveness of sins in your Savior Jesus Christ, that's what lives and reigns in your heart right now. That's where you're at now. That's the contrast. You were once darkness, now you are light in the Lord. What kind of light is that? Paul says, "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth." You've got faith in your heart that believes in a God who so loved you that He sent His Son to the cross to pay for your sins. His perfect blood shed in your behalf as your substitute. So now God sees every one of you, looks at you as an individual and says, not guilty, never sinned, perfect, walking blameless in my sight, all through the merits of Christ Jesus. And your faith believes those promises, God's word, and it's yours, heaven that is. Then Jesus tells us that when we get to heaven, we're not going to need light switches. We're not going to need the sun or the moon. Because Jesus is there, and He's our light. He'll fill His temple with His glory. The radiance of our powerful God, who has done so much and has put us in His light, will be the light of our lives for eternity. That's what we get to look forward to. That's what we've come to right now. We've got it by faith. When by faith we live that Christian life, and how can you not? I mean, knowing what the Lord has done, how can we not take the rest of these verses to heart? When Paul says, find out what is acceptable to the Lord. What is acceptable? All those fruits of the Spirit. Goodness. How do we find out what's really good in life? We don't take the words of our best friends. We don't take the advice of those around us in the world whose idea of goodness is anything but, we take God's word. How do we know what righteousness is? How do we know the right way to get to heaven? Well, there's only two religions, the right one and the wrong one. And the right one says you are saved by grace alone through faith in Christ Jesus. It's He did it all for you. His righteousness, His perfect keeping of the law is now accounted to you. And the wrong religion? Oh, it's a variation on the same theme. No. You have to do something in order to get to heaven. And that appeals to our sinful natures. That's why there are so many false religions in the world. It's wrong teaching, false teaching denominations. Because they all go off on that tangent. That you can do something towards your salvation. When Jesus clearly says, it's all done. It's finished. It's accomplished. And now you stand in the light. So, knowing all that, we want to tell other people, we want to help them with genuine righteousness, looking to Christ our righteousness. We want to help them with truth. During the Lenten season, we hear Pilate's scathing remark to Jesus as he stood there in front of him. When Jesus told him that, told him about the truth, Pilate said, "What is truth?" And isn't that the world's battle cry? You think you know what's right and wrong. It's all relative. It depends on what time you live in and what part of the country you live in, the society and the things going on. Your truth is not necessarily my truth. My truth is not necessarily yours. What is truth? Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the light, and the life." He is the truth. Those pages of your Bible on the bookshelf of your home, wherever you keep it, that's the truth. And you can go to that truth any moment of any day. Maybe you have that truth in your heart. Maybe you've committed to memory some great passages of the truth of God that helps you to face whatever's facing you in life. Whether you're going through a financial difficulty, you can go to those passages where the Lord promises that the Father in heaven knows everything you need, even before you ask. When you're lonely or feel forsaken, you can go to those passages where Jesus promises he's always with you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. You can remind yourself of the passage that says, "Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you. You will glorify me." That's the truth. We're not by ourselves. He hasn't left us orphans here. We are in his kingdom, part of his ongoing ruling activity, and he lives right in our hearts. That's the gracious message that we get to take to tell other people, that we are now part of the light, and Christ wants them to be in this same light. That's why he says right in the last verse here, right in verse 14, therefore he says, "Awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you life." That's not talking to you. That verse, there's a verse in Scripture which does not apply to a believer. Read it again. "Awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, Christ will give you light." That's our message we are to take out into the world to those who do not believe yet, to all of your family, your friends, your neighbors, to those people you know who maybe have an inkling about that there's a Jesus out there, that he did something for us, that this is a special time of the year. And yeah, what's Easter about again? We have 3 more weeks to prepare their hearts to tell them for the most important event of the year is coming up. That day that we celebrate Jesus rising from the dead. And you know why Jesus rose from the dead? Because God justified you. Because God declared you not guilty for what Jesus accomplished on the cross. That sacrifice he made in your behalf was all God's plan from eternity. And he did it and accomplished it. And now he declares you not guilty, and he raised Jesus from the dead because of that. It's a done fact. It's a done deal. And you get to tell other people about that. So, meanwhile, while we are spreading the good news of this truth of God's Word, we also run into all kinds of errors and temptations and sins that come our way along our path here in life. We refer to this in Bible class as the veil of tears, the struggle that we face every day as Christians. Some days you win. Some days you lose, it seems, doesn't it? And the fact is, you never lose. You always win in Christ because you are in his light. The power of the gospel sustains you in this life. The power of the gospel message of your sins forgiven will always be your shield, will always be your total outfit of armor that you need to withstand the devil and all the world around us. Remember, it refers to the Word of God as the light. And just like when you were a child and your parents caught you doing something wrong or in a lie, they exposed that lie for you. Remember your parents saying, "At least you were caught. It's a good thing this didn't go on." Or, you know, when someone even gets jail time or is caught by the police, the one thing is we can be thankful that they were caught and that what they were doing wrong was brought out into the light of what is the truth. Our spiritual light that you and I enjoy in Christ Jesus goes much, much farther than just doing the right thing or not doing the wrong thing. It sets us in a position of always being perfectly righteous in God's sight. So when he says, "Awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead," you and I get to take that message out to people who are spiritually still caught in darkness. We get to wake them up with this wake-up call from their Savior. Awake, and he can, through a miracle. You may not believe it, but there are those whom the Holy Spirit will put down in front of you as an opportunity to witness his word to. There are those whom the Lord will give you the chance to call to them. To call to them while they are spiritually asleep or dead in darkness. All you have to do is use that word of God, lay it down, get out of the way of the Holy Spirit, and he will work a miracle just like he worked in you. The day you were baptized, the day you came to faith, the day the Holy Spirit changed you and quickened you and converted you, took you off that path, that broad and easy path to hell, switched you around 180 degrees so that you are taking that narrow and difficult way to eternal life, which Jesus spoke of. That was a miracle, wasn't it? And the same miracle can happen when others are called by the powerful word of God that you bring. You can remind them that once they were darkness, but now the Lord Jesus have given them light. What a promise to you and to me and to all mankind. Think of it. He has called you out of spiritual darkness into his light, woken you up from your spiritual death to a genuine, true life that is yours now and always will be, so that Jesus can even say to you, whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. What a comfort to us who grieve the death of our loved ones, who know that one day we too will die, but that Jesus has conquered death, and that death only serves as a gateway to eternal life. We will never die because of the light in our lives. And Christ, who has begun this light in your life, he has put that light in your heart, will continue to supply it with his word. He'll supply it with the power to keep burning brightly, even in this world of darkness, until that day comes when he will come again and take you to be with him in the eternal light that will never end in heaven. Amen.